Man in Line.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Your chance to have your say about whatever you want today. Because we're open line through to a one, call 661368. Text or WhatsApp 166177. Email studio at manxradio.com. And Julian's with us first today. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How's it going?
Well, terrific, thank you. What about yourself?
All right, yeah. I know it's grey, but it's sort of calm and it just seems quite like it today. It's not nice and none of the, all this malarkey with weather and everything. So, with the budget commentary at the moment, you've also got the post offices losing in-person services. And bank branches are closing all over the place. It all appears to be for a push to do everything online. So with the budget around and everything else, I'm wondering about VAT chargeable items and services. Because at the moment, essentials like heating oil, gas, electricity, housing materials for renovation and insulation are charged at 5% VAT. So if we're going to pay these essential bills and fill out all these forms online, shouldn't the medium by which we do that, namely broadband, mobile internet, along with the equipment like mobile phones, laptops and computers, shouldn't they all be charged at 5% VAT as they're essential to fulfill the government's online push?
I bet they've never thought of that.
Well, I mean, you know, they seem to be pushing this idea that, you know, they're trying to get rid of cash. I mean, I notice now, down in Port Erin, for example, the cash machine's been broken for weeks. So, you know, that kind of alludes to the fact that they, I don't know, they don't seem to be in much of a hurry to fix them. I don't know if the one in Ramsey's been fixed yet, but that was offline for ages.
Is that the only, are you talking about the one at the bank? Is that the only one in Port Erin?
It is now, yeah.
Isn't the one at Tesco anymore?
No, not down. I don't think there's one down in Port Erin. You have to go to the one in Castletown, or then you've got the airport, or then you've got Douglas and Tesco's in Douglas or Allerman Bank and things like that. So I just wonder if there's such a big push to go online, well, perhaps there should be an incentive then, because if essentials are charged at 5%, why aren't they doing that with all the kit that we need to do that? So all our phone bills, all our mobile phones, laptops, computers, all at 5%, because they essentially are essential, I suppose you could say.
Well, as you say, that's the push at the moment. Maybe they just think that we're so happy to be part of the future that we don't mind paying extra VAT.
Well, I mean, you know, this it ends up being expensive. You know, if you've got a £1,000 iPhone or something, it would make quite a big difference if it was charged at 5%, because most of what you do is online. I don't know. I mean, it's just an idea, but it would save a few quid for... Not everybody wants to buy a £1,000 iPhone, but when it starts to look at things like phone bills and doing all this stuff online, I think it would make a reasonable difference. And, you know, it might ease the skids, if you see what I mean, with people thinking, well, if it's going to be cheaper in that way, it might just tip the balance with people going into it. Not that, you know, it's like, I don't know. I mean, for example, if you take, say, you post a letter, I seem to remember, is it the Post Office Act of 2000 and something, that you can have 2 years in jail if you open somebody else's letter and get caught with it. So letters inherently are more secure than... I mean, God knows, if you send an email out, who knows who's looking at it, or a WhatsApp message or anything else.
So, do you carry cash, Julian?
I do sometimes, yeah. You know, Beastie was saying about, you know, collect your £1 notes and all the rest of it. Yeah. I think it is good to have it, because you know, it does seem that the pincer movement is coming in to try and, you know, carbon tax you, and in the name of saying carbon's a pollutant when it clearly isn't. But, you know, everything seems to be around control now. And, you know, I think somebody said yesterday that somebody couldn't get out. Was it to go to the bank or a post
office? No, it was a gentleman. It was a gentleman who has to collect his pension from Ramsey. He lives in Durban. He's got osteoarthritis and he's not mobile. Yeah. He has to go on a bus and it plays merry hell with his osteoarthritis. He's ill for 2 days after going on a bus.
Yeah, that's right. So there's clearly a push, regardless of whether you're healthy or not. Well, what do you do? But if he's not capable of going online, there's an argument for keeping things either or, I would say. I mean, you know, there's plenty of people who, and there might be people, modern people, who lose the ability to use equipment like that, in which case you still need possibly in-person services or something. So, I don't know. It's a conundrum, isn't it, Andy?
It's interesting. Of course, it's something that's crept up on us. I think the ATMs, the cash machines, came in the 1960s, and they were seen as really part of the future, being able to get cash at that time of day or night. But if they're disappearing, and as you say, I wasn't aware that there was only one cash machine in Port Erin. Somebody's emailed in to say you can get cash back at the co-op if you want, but that's not open all the time, obviously.
Yeah, and if you wanted, say, £300 or £400, are they going to be amenable to that? You know, if you wanted to have,
I don't think so. Somehow, to be quite honest.
Yeah, a packet of Tic Tacs and £300, please.
All right, Julian, good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
All right, the Treasury Minister has been responding to comments made about his budget, which set out the largest material increase to personal allowances ever. The government hopes it'll stimulate the economy and generate additional revenue through extra tax receipts. What do you think? Some have accused Chris Thomas of rolling out an election budget with unfunded giveaways. He was on The Breakfast Show this morning. Chris Thomas, MHK.
This budget is good, would have been good at any time. It would have been better to have been done previously. And I think that's why the Chief Minister showed leadership and made the changes that he did and did it eventually. I've been describing him as a prisoner in his own Council of Ministers for some time now, and the prisoner is free. This is the budget that needed to be done, and he's right. The second point is, yesterday, as many people were saying to me, that votes against the budget were pre-election votes against government, as well as were saying to me, this is a pre-election giveaway budget. Look, this budget its merits need to be considered in their own terms, and this is a good budget for the island now and into the future, because it will encourage confidence, which will lead to investment, job security, more hours, just general economic activity. If we don't have a care sector, older people suffer. If we don't have a hospitality sector, we all suffer. If we don't have retail outlets on the island, we all suffer. Look, let's just celebrate what we've done, get some confidence back. The blue sky and the sunshine were out on budget day. We still know it's cold in the Isle of Man this year. We still know there are strong winds blowing, but at least we had some blue sky and sunshine, and we've got things to look forward to now. And please invest, and if only this budget had happened the previous year.
That's Chris Thomas. He's very big on confidence, isn't he? Well, he'll be on next Monday if you want to talk to Chris Thomas. The Treasury Minister will be on Man in Line next Monday, 23rd. And I just wonder what you think. A message in from Alan, who just said, is this the end of the wallet? Or the purse, for that matter, as cash is kept in wallets and purses, does this mean that I don't mean one of these Apple wallets or anything like that, proper leather wallet or a canvas or a nylon one. Is this the end of the wallet? Do people give wallets? I don't know, Alan, but it's a thought. Robert's on now. Hi, Robert. Robert's not on. We'll try and find Robert in a few moments' time. But messages in today. The 4-foot wall in Ramsey Harbour is too high. It's going to look horrible. Ramsey is a working harbour. It's a working harbour. How are the fishermen going to load and unload things? The whole character of the harbour is going to be lost. We're losing so much of our island's unique charm and character these days. A message in from 068. The black economy is awash with cash. It talks. Well, that's a, and maybe this is something we'll bring up with the Chief Constable who's on next week. Obviously, the black economy simply has to run on cash because cash isn't traceable, broadly speaking. So the fact that we're going to electronic stuff, will that rule out the criminals? I was going to say, if you're a criminal, tell me about it, but I'm guessing that you won't do that. But a very good point worth making. Thank you, 515. The black economy, people getting paid in cash. Here's a message in that just said, why do those on maximum attendance allowance not receive the winter heating payment when we're required to keep the house warmer as the people aren't ambulant? And with bladder and bowel accidents, there's more washing and drying to be done. Some of this bedding can't be dried in a tumble dryer, and therefore an electric airer is required for these. Our electric bill is over £350 a quarter. £350, it's £1,400 a year. The winter, and also that's without the gas bill. When I asked the department that deal with winter payments, I was told on the phone that that's what attendance allowance is for. I thought it was for giving up your life to care for somebody 24 hours a day. Well, thank you for that message. And if it's that resonates with you, if that's something you want to talk about, then by all means do get in touch. Regarding the airport tower, they do have an inbuilt water feature where the roof leaks onto the stairs. It's only been there 10 years, so repairs are necessary. I just drove down from Ramsey Quayside in my van, and traffic, including 4x4s going the other way, absolutely no problem. ShopRite car park is full, says Mark. Thank you to, let me see here. Thank you to, I'll just check this message, which says the government isn't paying out for the tax change, but the tax income will be reduced. To make up the shortfall, they need to be looking at those with huge incomes for them to make up the shortfall, says H on 768. I'll pose the question to you, H. What do you mean by huge incomes? What precisely how much is somebody on a huge income? And again, move away from assets, because sometimes people can be asset rich and cash poor. What do you mean by that? And I think Mr. Cannon mentioned before the budget that by raising the tax threshold for the payment of income tax, the bet is that more tax will come in because people will work harder, earn more money. I think his point was, by taxing people more, the tax take will only go down proportionately. Anyway, if unfunded is a problem, how is the huge pension debt going and rising costs funded? Eddie's on now. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Andy. All right, mate.
Well, fine, thanks. What about yourself?
Oh, I'm good. Always good, I hope. Just a couple of views on your subject at the moment about banks and cash and things. I heard you say there before that money is the sort of medium that criminals work in.
Well, not only criminals, but I mean criminals tend to work in cash, don't they?
Yeah, but what made me come on to suggest something. When the kidnap in America happened recently, how did they want the payment to be made? In Bitcoin?
Yes.
Yeah, so I really think that it's overemphasized that cash is the use of the dishonest.
Well, it's been said that that Bitcoin or cryptocurrency in general is a godsend for those of criminal nature because you can transfer it around the world and nobody quite knows where it is.
That's right. Well, that's why I thought I'd bring that point up. You know, another point that always strikes me is I think it's absolutely dead obvious that it's not just banks, it's the government that want no cash around. And the reason why I come to that conclusion is, say, for instance, you're in business and you've got all the banks around you are closing and stopping doing this, that and the other. Surely one bank would think, ooh, I could jump on this and make a fortune by providing a service that they're all doing away with. But that's not happening, is it? There isn't one single bank who is not going along the same lines.
I'll let you I'll let you into a little trade secret, Eddie. The banks hate cash. They hate cash simply because it's physical. It has to be counted. It has to be identified. It has to be verified. Somebody's got to cash up at the end of the day. It's then got to be checked. It's too much faff for them. They want as little work as possible. And who would blame them? Because they're in business to cut costs. That's simply the reason. They hate the fact that people turn up with huge cash bags of coins and it just takes time. They don't like it. They like as little cash as possible.
But again, I'm going to emphasise the fact that if all the banks are closing, one of them who stayed open and took cash could make an absolute killing because they're the only one who deals with cash. Surely there's an opening there. If you just say, for instance, I'm a builder and all the other builders are sort of saying, no, I'm not going to build that type of building, I would say, oh, right, I can jump on a wagon and build that type and make a killing. There's always an opening in enterprise, isn't there?
Well, you would think so.
Looks to me.
Yeah, you would think so.
Well, this looks to me as though it's a closed shop. It's right across the board. Not just all banks are saying it, but it must be coming from somewhere higher up.
I would say, though, Eddie, if there's money to be made in cash, if there's money to be made with a bank just handling cash, you know, they snap at each other's heels anyway. Surely they'd know. They'd know that if there is an amount of money to be made in cash, because... but it's the physical nature of it and the fact that people have to show up and somebody has to look after them and somebody's got to be there to man it. Somebody's got to count it again and verify it and what have you. And I know there are some of these machines where you can load in amounts of cash, but half the time they don't work because somebody puts a Coca-Cola top in and screws the machine up. So I think you're losing a battle there, Eddie, to be quite honest.
Yeah, but does it not to you strike you as though it's coming from higher places?
Oh, it's coming from the banking industry. The banking industry, just like the banking industry, is only interested in business accounts. They're interested in corporate accounts because that's where they make the money. They're not interested in private accounts and certainly not interested in cash.
Yeah, but you haven't got my point there. I know that all the banks are doing that at the moment, which makes me say that it's a collective thing that they're all doing. But if one of them thought, I could make money out of still doing cash, then one of them surely would. So in my opinion, it's coming from higher up. Government.
Wow. And you think that if a bank thought they could make an extra few quid out of this, or an extra few million out of it, that they wouldn't do it?
Well, like I say again, the way we're going at the moment, it looks obvious that they're trying to do away with cash. It seems as though everybody, including yourself, you all seem to think that. So obviously you have to look at the common sense of things. Why is there not one bank who's saying, well, there's cash still around. I can make a killing here by charging for taking these things in. And they would do. They're not governed by any particular body. So I think it's something somewhere along the line.
It's a conspiracy, do you think?
Not a conspiracy, but a total agreement by all banks. Pushed on them by government, maybe. I don't know.
How much cash have you got in your pocket, Eddie?
I always carry cash.
Oh, do you? How much have you got?
At the moment, 640 quid in my pocket. Well, if I see something for sale and they want cash, say they want 400 quid for it. If I've got cash in my hand, I'll get it for 350. Now, you can't do that with a card.
And it's a good job you're walking around the south of the Isle of Man, not Moss Side, isn't it?
Nobody will tackle me, mate.
Thanks for calling today, Eddie. Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. Here's Sue with us now. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Andy. I've got a bit of good news regarding the last plantation and dog waste bins.
Oh, right. They're not going to put one there, are they?
Yes. I rang in a couple of weeks ago saying that there wasn't any facility and that Bill Dale from Beach Buddies was having to empty his rubbish collection bin of dog waste. Following that, you said surely is that nothing that the commissioners should be dealing with? So I contacted the last commissioners. They have ordered a new dog waste bin, a proper one, to go up there. And also I contacted DEFA, Claire Barber, and asked them about their opinion about having a dog waste bin. And they have since put a litter bin up there, which, although it doesn't say dog waste on the litter bin, it does just say litter. She has stated that it can be used as a receptacle for dog waste. So we're going in the right direction.
Well, that's fantastic. If only everybody else took notice of that.
Yeah. Well, more people need to ring into the manning line and email people and say, look, this isn't right. This needs sorting out.
How can we shame people then who either aren't using the bags or are using the bags? And I mean, we've heard of people tying them on trees and leaving them there.
Yeah. I mean, people try to pick the dog waste up as a good thing to do, but if they think that they're going to go back that way, then they're not going to carry a bag of dog waste with them all the way to one journey and to come all the way back.
Yeah.
So a lot of people will leave them by the side thinking, I'll collect that on my way through, and then they forget, or they can't see where they've put it. They forget where they've put it, so it does get left there. I don't think there is any point in trying to shame people, Andy, because some people will collect, other people won't collect. I mean, there's still people walk the dog through towns and things, let the dog do its business on the pavements and just leave it there. So, it's just a mentality that some people have, that they don't think that rules and regulations and niceties and moralities belong in their world. They don't think they're responsible for things like that. So I don't think there is any point in shaming people. There are people who know what's right and people who don't give a damn, if you like. But it's just one of those things, Andy, isn't it? But having a poo bin up there so that Bill Dale won't have to rake through his rubbish bin because people will have put the dog waste in a dog waste bin, or as I've said, DEFA have put a litter bin up there and they say that is for dog waste, then there is a facility there now, and hopefully people will use it.
That's fantastic. I'm trying not to have a philosophy of despair, Sue, if you say that some people are shameless. I'd wonder what you'd do, how on earth you could get to somebody like that. What could you do that would, I mean, it comes with antisocial behaviour anyway, whether it's throwing litter out of cars, whether it's driving too fast or whatever it is. How do you get to people who are shameless?
Well, you can't really in this sort of instance because, I mean, people have said about DNA testing and things like that on dogs, that is such a huge thing that it would never be possible to do it. So there isn't any way. There are always going to be people who don't care. They just think it doesn't apply to them and they're just going to go along. They think that other people will do it. They think other people will come along and pick up their dog waste. I mean, the same applies to people who throw litter about. It is a finable offence. But some people say, oh, well, I'm keeping somebody in a job who's paid to go along and pick litter up. Well,
what about those people? If those people are parents and they have children, so their children see their parents with those antisocial habits, and by definition, kids think their parents are fantastic, the children would do the same.
Sort of 50-50. They would do as their parents do, but they would also see their friends.
Right.
And if their friends pick up litter, I mean, a lot of the children on this island are really good with things like that, and they will go along to a litter bin,
right,
and they will put their litter in a litter bin. So when one child sees a friend of theirs or somebody that they know at school and they see them putting litter in a litter bin, then that will clock something
right
in their brain which says it's better to do it that way than to do it the way that mum and dad do it.
Yeah.
And then they might actually be able to educate mum and dad into, no, there's a bin over there.
That's a very good point, and Bill Dale said this in the past, is that obviously Bill goes around schools with beach buddies, and he said a lot of the school children bring their parents on a Sunday morning to beach buddies. So the future's with children. It always is, Sue.
Yeah, it always is. And I enjoy listening to the programmes when you go into the schools and talk to the kids who are, you know, at whatever age they are, 17, 16, 17. And they sound so well-rounded these days, and it does give you a little bit of hope for the future, because they understand what they're talking about. We might not understand it because they're at a different education level to when we were in school, when we were their age. But it does give you a little bit of hope, and to know that they are being educated and that they are having visits from people like Bill Dale and Beach Buddies, and to know that bit of information will sink in a little bit, then there is that train of thought and that train of education where they think, I won't chuck this wrapper on the floor, I will seek out a receptacle and I will put it in there.
Okay. So. All right, good. And all hail Balaff Plantation. Thanks for that, Sue.
All right then, thanks Andy.
Good to hear from you. It's 28 minutes before one. Howard's with us now. Hi Howard.
Hello Andy. I've just listened to you before there, and the chap I'm saying about Ramsey, about the harbour, about a working harbour.
Yeah.
In all the different people it's been talking about, they're talking about Mezzeron area and up further up, deeper into Ramsey. But I've not heard of anybody mention the fishing boats. And again, the fishing boats tie up alongside the quayside, and I've refueled them many, many times up there, and you take the hose and there's invariably somebody on board the vessel because it's got to go down below. But again, that's going to make life difficult for the drivers when they're refueling the fishing boats, because they're not in direct contact with the vessel. So if anything did happen, they wouldn't be able to get to it quickly. Plus the fact that, you know, it's going to do continuous damage to the hoses rolling on top of a concrete structure, and a 4-foot wall, you'd have to walk around that wall until you found an entrance to get onto the harbour area before you could pass the hose down to the ships. And the same coming back again, it's going to be scarifying on the top of the concrete, which is never a smooth wall, and it's going to be damaging to the hoses for the delivery of the fuel oil.
You would have thought the DOI's thought this through, Howard.
No. As I said to Chris, he said to me, how many percent do you think it's been thought not thought through? And I said 101. They're looking to stop the water. And as Wilf says, a 2-foot wall would be more than adequate. If you've got 2 foot of water in the harbour over the top of the harbour area, you've got a serious problem. And the ones of us are all talking about it now. We're not going to be around when the water gets up to over 2 foot to come over a 2-foot wall. And you can step over a 2-foot wall and get access to the ships. And there's no need for it to come all the way out into the road. You'd only have to put that 2-foot wall along the working edge of the harbour. And you can carry on exactly as you are with just a neat wall. But somebody within the DOI has got this idea of putting 4-foot walls. It must be a standard measurement. And it's one of those things where they don't think outside their own little ivory tower, the working complex of a harbour. It's not a paved area where you go for your beauty spots, the fishing boats. And they'll say the same for Peel and Castletown. They'll all come gradually, bit by bit, 4-foot walls all around the harbours because of global warming and climate change. So the harbours, in a sense, will become more and more difficult to work for the fishing industry.
And also, let's face it, they look pretty. Our harbours are a visual amenity. We all love walking by the harbours and just looking at the water in the harbours.
Yep. Well, they say once in 100 years or something, they say. Well, I think insurance companies can stand that once in 100 years. They charge you enough for it. But the DOI, somebody within the DOI got this brainwave to put walls around the harbour area to stop. King Canute tried it, and he got washed away with his deck chair.
Okay.
So... It's not going to work. It's not going to be a proper system. A 2-foot wall would be more than enough, and you can still carry on working, still have an attractive harbour.
Okay. All right, Howard, thanks for calling today.
Okay, take care.
Cheers. Now, 24 minutes before one.
You've been talking for weeks. They're funny and they're thoughtful and they say all the right things and...
Babe, I'm stuck abroad. I just need a little money to get home.
And that's the moment. The moment a romance turns into a crime. Scammers build trust, then strike, leaving victims heartbroken and out of pocket. If someone you've never met wants money, think. Protect yourself. Stop communicating with them immediately and report the incident. A message brought to you by Isle of Man Bankers Association, Financial Crime Partnership, the Isle of Man Constabulary, and the Cybersecurity Centre for the Isle of Man. Visit csc.gov.im.
Get your garden ready for spring with Riley's. Seed potatoes to garden machinery. Get down to Cool Road, Braddon, for everything you need. And all your pet supplies and birdseed too. Leap into spring with Riley's Garden Centre.
A big thank you to your workmen. They've done a very good job. My property looks like new again. Thank you, EPS.
We're delighted with the house. Your employees obviously take great pride in their work.
The work was done promptly, professionally, and considerately.
EPS, transforming properties island-wide with the revolutionary Protex wall covering system. Guaranteed for 10 years. Call 627 191 and book now for spring and get 10% off.
A good job. Well done.
Big Red Storage in Tramode and Ronaldsway offers secure self-storage units in various sizes with ground floor options and 24/7 access. Check offers and prices using our online space calculator at bigred.im or call 640040.
FC Isle of Man return to the ball this weekend for the first of 6 home matches in a row, and to start that run off is the biggest test in the NWCFL Premier Division right now. The league leaders Withenshaw are in town this Saturday, with the Ravens hoping to cause an upset against the odds. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Darren Timpson for FC Isle of Man versus Withenshaw, kicking off at 6 p.m. this Saturday. Manx Radio will be bringing you full live match commentary on our DAB and AM 1368 channels.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
22 minutes before one. Wilf's with us now. Hi, Wilf.
Hi, and I just thought I'd better come on and answer a couple of queries for you.
Yeah.
The fishing boats, they all take the scallops off and queenies down in the corner as you turn from there, right on the very, the only corner we got,
yeah,
in the harbour. And they manage perfectly all right as is. If they, what they used to do is just put a couple of cones, undo the chain, put a couple of cones there so you can get close to it. But nowadays, the wagon that comes to pick them up has a high ab on, and he can stretch out to the boat and pick them up. Also, some of the boats have got high abs on. They don't handle bags of scallops anymore. The scallops is coming, or some of them, in big bags. They couldn't lift them anyway. So, as it is, it's perfectly all right for them. They can handle it. Now, if you put a 2-foot wall around in place of the chains, that stops the water coming in. They can still handle everything as is, as was. They can use the high abs to unload or load. That solves that problem. But they, I think possibly they're going to take some changes and put the wall there instead. And that is no parking, that bit. I think that's probably some of the 50 spaces that we're going to lose or whatever. My method of the 2-foot wall and leave alone, you don't lose one car parking space, not one. And can you imagine the disruption of them building this wall and whatever else they want to talk about doing along Ramsey Quay? when it's so busy as it is now. Was that going to carry on like Douglas Promenade and go on for years, they build it or whatever? So my method, you wouldn't trip the road, you wouldn't do anything like that. All will be on that, all be all up that side is a ready-mix lorry filling up to do the two-foot wall. Now then, the other thing was, or a couple of other things, the swing bridge, the entrance to the swing bridge, where whatever the wall height is, it comes to the end of the swing bridge and then misses the swing bridge and then away again. And in between that bit where the swing bridge is, they put a slider on each wall and drop in an aluminium section with a rubber bottom on it. And that stops it. If any water coming over the swing bridge and into the town from there, that stops that. Also, they've already spent loads of money doing them sliders for all the roads and lanes out on the quay. So you've got a double thing if you want it. Now then, there was another thing. Somebody said something about digging out the harbour. Now, the harbour is at its level now in the bottom. There's very little mud. The only mud you get is in front of the slipway from the shipyard. Sometimes that's got to be cleared with. But we haven't even got a dredger now. We use diggers and they push it into the river, and the river takes it down to the, pushes it out to sea. Now then, it's the same as you dig a big hole in the harbour or clear the harbour. Well, the river just fills it up as you're digging it. And then you get the same level as you got now without the hole, if you see what I mean. So the big tide comes to the same height. Anyway, and there was another thing mentioned. Joe was on the other day, mentioned about the Chevron car park and they need to get it and put them all in line. Well, you put them all in line, you lose a hell of a lot of car parking spaces. And the thing is, the commissioners, a few years ago, got hold of DOI, DOT, whatever you like to call them, and said, could you do something about the parking on the quay? And they come along and did the Chevron parking. Now, we didn't like it, and we said we didn't like it, but now we found that it's totally necessary because there's that many cars, and we can't do without it now. So it's as simple as that. And as for footpaths and things down the other side, they were going to do all sorts of fancy things, these stupid things, stonework that they put it down the street and all that. They're going to just renew them as they are with concrete. And that's the finished product. That's all you need. And the road reconstruction, total nonsense. The wagons, the big wagons, is going up with the logs, possibly today, I don't know. But they've been going up for months now, back and forward, and Mezzanine coming out with full loads of concrete, eight-wheeler wagons. The quay side is just the same. The only bit that's wrong with the carriageway in the on the quay side is outside my house. There's a dip there that wants fixing, and that's it. When they go through there, my house shakes. But they're not worried about that. Okay. They're going to rip the whole lot up and right down through, supposed to be. It started off getting up for 10 years ago, and it was 2.4 million. Now it's up to 6.8. And there's nothing being done, and nothing needs to be done, except a two-foot wall. Mm-hmm. And that's the finish.
All right.
Don't do anything else. Leave it as it is, fine. The quayside has not fallen into the harbour. There's nothing wrong with the harbour walls. There was talk of one-way grids to take the rainwater if you have a solid wall, so that the sea cannot come up the grid. All you have to do with that is a half-ton... Well, put it this way. Nobody comes and cleans the drains and the grids around the town anyway. So I can't see anybody coming specially to clean any special expensive one-way grids that they have on the quayside. You just have it as it was, as it is now, and you put a sack or two of sand on top of the grid, and then any rain that should fall for that hour that we might have the water splashing in, for that hour that the tide is in, and it's raining, for what rain would the thing in an hour, without going down them grids, that won't flood anything. Okay. It just wet the road. And then as soon as the tide goes back, it's gone again. You pull the sacks off the grids, and away it goes. It's total... I think it's just a thing to... Well, I know it's to spend an awful lot of money, but I think it's a thing to make work, actually. I think that's all it is, to make work. Plus the fact... I haven't had a look at it because I've been in hospital and out of hospital. I never got to town hall to see the last of the plans, but I have already told them to throw them in the bin anyway, so I don't even actually want to see them. Because if it's not done the way I'm saying to do it, you're going to end up with a real mess and shut Ramsey down, actually.
Okay. All right.
Well, not exactly shut it down, but it'll kill the tourism.
All right. Okay. Wolf, it's good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us today.
Okay.
Take care now. It's 14 minutes before one. Andy dropped a note in. Did the amount of notes and coins in circulation backed by reserves get identified? Well, the notes and coins in circulation on the Isle of Man are recorded, but backing details aren't separately reported. The Isle of Man government does report the value of Manx currency notes and coins in circulation. That's the face value figures year by year. It's in the Isle of Man in numbers. But official publications don't separately state or quantify how much of these notes and coins are backed by reserves in a measurable way, the backing ratio, they call it, or reserve for circulation figure, in the way that central banks like the Bank of England with the monetary-based statistics might publish. No such backing total appears in the current Isle of Man Treasury management accounts or government statistical releases. Andy, the short answer to that is, we don't know. Rich dropped a note in to say, Andy, do you remember Mr. Cannon's first budget? The government, Alf Cannon's government's first budget, presented by David Ashford, when we were so desperate to save the planet, he put $25 million into climate change funding that grew by another $20 million in the next budget by Alex Allinson. I guess now the nearly £50 million we spent going green has saved the planet on its own, and there's hardly a word mentioned about the impending planet doom in this year's budget. I guess all the insulation and draft proofing that Daphne Kane bought has fixed it. I don't think that's true, as the world is no longer coming to an end. If there's no money going to climate change, then thankfully, why is Douglas, Laxey and now Ramsey so desperate to build a 4-foot-high wall in such a hurry and not putting a penny to a supposed climate change in the budget? It must show things aren't as bad as they thought it was 5 years ago. In my opinion, says Rich.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio from midday till 1, Monday to Friday.
My everyday used to feel fine. Now it feels elevated.
Better decisions, better outcomes.
Support when I need it, freedom when I don't.
With no monthly fee, dedicated relationship management and a world of global benefits, HSBC Premier is designed to elevate your everyday. HSBC, opening up a world of opportunity. See website for details. T's and C's apply. In the Isle of Man, HSBC Bank PLC is licensed by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority and is a participant in the Isle of Man Depositors Compensation Scheme, as set out in the Depositors Compensation Scheme Regulations 2010.
They've got your whole house in their hands.
When you need scaffolding,
DPM.
On time and on budget,
DPM.
We'll beat any quote.
DPM, we do it all at DPM.
DPM promise to beat any like-for-like scaffolding quote by 10%. So when you need scaffolding, call the friendly, experienced DPM scaffolding team on 612000. T's and C's apply.
We do it all at DPM.
SMS Trading. New and second-hand furniture from flat pack to fully built. See our range at 3 St Paul Square, Ramsey. All-island delivery and man-in-a-van service available. Call SMS Trading on 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Holmes & Davidson Opticians in Douglas, we see more, so you can too. Our advanced eye examinations go beyond the standard checkup, using state-of-the-art Heidelberg 4D retinal imaging and Eidon ultra-wide field technology to detect early signs of eye disease before symptoms even appear. We're the Isle of Man's trusted experts in eye health because your vision deserves more than average. Book your advanced eye exam today at Holmes & Davidson Douglas. Clarity, care, cutting-edge technology.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
9 minutes before one. Oh, just a quick note about Peel, Peel Football Club. They've sent up a new pan-disability football team, only the second of its kind on the Isle of Man. They're looking forward to setting up more teams like it in the north and the south. So just Peel and in Douglas. Dave Chapman, the coach, is running the sessions along with the Isle of Man Disability Football Ambassador, Pete Corkill. So Pete and Dave are doing them. If you want to find out more details about this pan-disability football team or any opportunities to help out, then get in touch with Simon Elson. Simon is the Isle of Man FA's development manager. Email simon.elson, E-L-S-O-N, at isleofmanfa.com if you can help with the pan-disability football team, or you just want to know more about it if you're maybe in the north or the south. Simon Elson, simon.elson, at isleofmanfa.com. He's the development officer, and congratulations to Peel for that initiative. Any young person under the age of 18, ask any young person under the age of 18 what clean energy is, and you get the same reply again and again and again, says John. Clean energy is solar and wind. I rest my case. And Linda said, please listen to somebody who knows what's best for Ramsey. Listen and take note of Wilf before it's too late. Tina said, I'm conscious you get regular positive feedback about wind farms. The existing proposal off Ramsey in the Isle of Man waters is for an energy equivalent of 1.4 million houses. We don't need to encourage the harnessing of more rare earths when the proposal already is in place should be used by island energy suppliers. We don't have 1.4 million houses. We never will. Additional onshore turbines and wildlife displacement aren't better for anybody except for the industry. Well, I think they're selling that electricity. This is the proposed Ørsted one that's selling. That's going back to Preston, isn't it? That particular stuff. Have you had any information back on the 20 mile per hour? Is that 20 mile per hour limit gone? Anyway, this is a note from Will, who just says, have you had any notice about the 20 miles per hour affecting emergency services call outs? 70% of emergency services are not on station when they get paged. They then have to first drive to the station, then depart for an emergency. The ambulance, fire, Coast Guard, RNLI and Civil Defence as well. Remember, all fire stations, bar Douglas, are managed by retained staff, along with the Coast Guard and the RNLI. All these services have staff on call. It will affect their call-out terms, says Bill. That's Bill. And also, is the MUA selling power to the UK grid? Well, I think we'd use the interconnector both ways, don't we? Are UK consumers using Manx-made electricity cheaper than we get it? Well, there's a point. It might be nice to know. If the MUA is selling Manx-made power to the UK, what the UK customers are paying for it. Here's a note in from, let me see, it was, I'll find it for you now. Texter 404. Why not get the dog owners to take turns emptying the bins? Why should we all have to pay? Dog bins are a good idea, but somebody has to empty them and the cost will fall on the taxpayer or ratepayer. Well, dog owners are taxpayers and ratepayers, aren't they? Wouldn't you say?
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
Well, says Anne, we need cash. Don't you remember last year at Marks and Spencer when they had all those computer glitches and everything? Cash could only be used when the computers were down. Ha, ha, ha. The same thing happened on one of the steam packet boats. So if we don't have cash, what happens when things go wrong? Do we get everything for free? Well, that's a way to sell the policy, isn't it? Regarding your caller about dog waste in trees and plastic bags strewn along Ramsay's railway footpath, chewing gum should carry a heavy fine, as it does in Singapore. It's defacing our pavements. Well, we do have machines that get rid of gum, apparently. It's just that they don't use them all the time, do they? Yes, in Singapore, if you... is it just chewing gum that's illegal in Singapore, or is it spitting it out on the pavement? The design of the harbour wall, says Michelle, in Ramsey creates a safe working space for boat users and a dedicated loading space for wagons to collect the catch from the boats. There's ample access, and the Manx Fish Producers Association have approved the scheme from the fisherman's perspective. This is actually from departing DOI Minister Michelle Haywood, MHK. The wall creates a designated working area for Mezeron and will reduce the risk around loading and unloading their boats rather than having people wandering around that part of the harbour. And Rick says the harbour wall on the plan is not on the edge. There's a walkway and paths to get to the fishing boats. That's why cars can't park end on and have to go in sideways. That's Rick. And Andy said a simple solution for the Ramsey seawall will be to construct a 2-foot high wall that doubles up as seating. And a message in from Joan, who said, is everybody missing the point? A 4-foot-high wall around Ramsey Harbour is going to look awful. Awful. It won't look as nice as it used to, and just as that awful wall in Douglas, the people in charge have taken away our view, and they never asked us. Apparently, they tell us it's good for us. So effectively, shut up and move on. Well, says Joan, I won't forget. I like the views on the Isle of Man. Thank you, Joan. And thanks to producer Chris today. Back tomorrow, open line.
WINT.